So the learning for the next few minutes should be Refuah Shlema for Rafal Nissen Ben Adina Bracha. So some of you, all of you, are off there momentarily. So we want to say something that is on the Parsha, and something I think that's relevant to keep in mind as we begin the process of your next stage of learning in Eretz Yisrael. Now, as we're all preparing, you know, this is your school year, so to speak, or your next grade of school. And so let's talk about three different types of experiences that three different parents have when they come to parent-teacher conferences. Some parents, on one end of the spectrum, they come to parent-teacher conferences. And they're told all wonderful, nice things about their daughter and their children, about how wonderful they work so hard, they just want exams, and they're pleasured up in class, and everything is wonderful, and everything is great. The other that I have in my experience is on the other end of the bell curve, our parents whose children struggle and they don't do well in school either because they don't try, they're not interested, they have, you know, cognitive issues, whatever it may be, behavioral issues, and Hashem hired them, hardwired these children, though, for the summer, so to speak. They're not school kids, they're more summer kids. Most children and most students fall somewhere in the middle where the student is capable, they're bright, they have so much to learn to offer in class. But when the parent comes to parent-teacher conferences, they hear perhaps the most frustrating and dreaded sentence that no parent wants to hear, which is, you know, your son or your daughter is so bright, so smart, but they're not working to their potential. And it's very frustrating for parents because they're distracted, the child is lazy, tired, whatever it may be, not trying, not reaching their potential. And it's very frustrating to do that over and over and over again. You're not reaching your potential, not reaching your potential, because, you know, if you're going to tell me the child just can't, so the child just can't, and they won't succeed academically, or they'll do other things in life. But if the child is able to, the child can, and they're simply not reaching what they're capable of doing, so that's a bit difficult to hear. So I want to discuss this concept for a moment, based on a pasuk in this week's parsha. The pasuk says, Lo sakim lecha matseva asher sanei Hashem lekacha. Don't put up a matseva that Hashem your God hates. What's a matseva? A matseva is some sort of altar type of item. Now, a matseva seems to be interchangeable with a mizbeach. They're both things that you offer things up to Hashem on. But there is a difference. There are no synonyms in the Torah as we know. Words do not mean the same. They may sound the same, but they don't actually mean the same. So a matseva seems to carry this feeling of negativity. But a mizbeach, we love talking about mizbeachs. Mizbeach is the altar not made of one stone, like a matseva is made out of one singular rock, but a mizbeach, an altar, is made out of many stones. It's very popular. And the Beis HaMikdash had two mizbeachs, one for Kabanos, one for the Ketores. In Shemona Esrei, we ask that Hashem should return the mizbeach to Yerushalayim. And with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we're told that the tables of our homes that we feed our families on are like our personal mizbeach. So the question is, how come the word matseva has such a negative connotation in the Torah and in Chazal, but mizbeach has a positive connotation? In fact, we know that a matseva is another name for a tombstone. When somebody's buried, you put up a matseva, you don't put up a mizbeach. That singular stone is called a matseva. So why is it that a matseva has a negative connotation, but mizbeach has a positive connotation? Hear the question? Why does Hashem hate the matseva, but he loves the mizbeach? So let's read together a piece from Moshe Feinstein in his Darash Moshe. Says Moshe Feinstein, he says, Perush Rashi, Afal pi shehay sa'uhuv, Moshe Feinstein, in the Darash Moshe. He says, Afal pi, Rashi says, even though shehay sa'uhuv lo b'yemei ha'avos, even though in the days of the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the matseva was beloved, right? Yaakov made a matseva on Har Moria, and everyone was making matsevas everywhere. But now, the non-Jews have made the matseva for their avodah zarah, and therefore Hashem doesn't like it. Who cares, says Ramosha. Shem osim kein. It's very nice that the non-Jews turned the singular stone into a form of avodah zarah. But at the end of the day, who cares what they do? If we used a matseva serving Hashem in the past, putting up these altars in the past, then why is it not good now? Who cares what they do? So says Ramosha something very powerful about what the matseva and the mizbeach represent. V'nir shakavana she'acher matan Torah, after the Torah was given, sarach adam lelech me'ela maila b'torah u'mitzos be'ichas v'kamas. After the Torah was given, a person must continue to go up stage and step in Torah, mitzos, and chesed. V'afim chaya kfar shivim shana v'haya tzadik. Let's say you lived for 70 years and you were righteous. V'ayu ma'asav hatovim merubim, and you did a lot of good deeds, kol kach. She'af im v'shanam ha'achronos lo yasog b'torah v'lo yaseh ma'isim tovim v'od yechta mikomachom il ma'isim tovim yoser. And let's say I reach 70 and I say, come on, I did good for the first 70 years, so let me take a break for the next however many years. Not so many mitzvahs, not so many learning, not so much davening, maybe a few averes here and there. At the end of the day, on my accounting sheet in Shemayim, am I going to have more mitzvahs than averes? For sure, because I did 70 years of the right thing. So a few years of, not growing, so to speak, what's the big deal? Shelchein alu latos. This is a mistake. Shekvar hutzadik shezoch l'schar b'olam haba. You think that I did what I had to do, so now I already got olam haba. V'al zeh, so on this, mefurish b'yecheskel. This is what the pasuk in Yecheskel says. She'eino kein, that's not true. Shelo kamachsheva sa'am sh'amru lo yisachin darach zeh. This is not the path of the Jewish people. The Jewish people do not say, I did what I had to do, I put in my efforts, I accomplished what I had to do, and I'm good. But it's all about numbers at the end of the day, says Ramosha. That's what people think. At the end of the day, 24 hours, I did more good than bad, so it's a good day. At the end of the week, I did more good than bad, so it's a good week. And we try to account, how many points do I have at the end of the day? It's not about points at how much you have at the end of the day. We look at what you are doing until the day you die. Are you pushing yourself? Are you trying to be better? Are you trying to grow, trying to improve? At the end of the day, even if you statistically did more wrong at the end of your life, but you were trying to get better and better and always moving up, says R' Moshe, that is the path. Says R' Moshe, when a person says, I'm good, I daven this much. My Shemona Esrei is 4 minutes long. It doesn't have to be 4 minutes and 30 seconds. Now, I did this much chesed this week, I'm good. I learn this much Torah, I go to this many shirim, I'm this nice to my parents. That's good. That's what I'm hoping. And don't ask me to do more to push me. Says Ramosha, that is not a Jewish concept. V'zeu iser matseva. That's the iser of the matseva. Shu me'even echa sh'omer v'lo mosif l'klum z'chuyos. Says Ramosha, what's wrong with a matseva, a single stone? Tell me, what's wrong with it?
There's no growth.
It's stagnant. It's one thing. There's nothing more to it. Aval kodem matan Torah shel nischai v'gamken zahov. Right, before the Torah was given, so then that's okay. Before the Torah was given, that's 100% fine, because Hashem didn't tell us what to do. Aval achar matan Torah, af im yaniach rak ma she'asa lefnim meshuras hadin, namuchi gadol. To just do enough, and to say, this is how much I do, this is how much I want to accomplish, I'm not interested in anything more, that is a sin, says Rav Moshe. The son of Hashem, Hashem hates that. Nothing gives Hashem more displeasure than people who say, I'm good, I have nothing else to grow from. Gam kim lefnim mishros adin hu mitzui mishom isparach v'nachshav mitzu v'yos lezeh. No, says Rav Moshe, we always want to be pushing to do more, to try to accomplish more. That's why the gravestone is called a matseva. Why do our gravestones only have one rock? Because the person is no longer growing. There are no more zechuyos. There's nothing left to accomplish. And therefore, in a gravestone, it's one single rock, not a collection of rocks built on top of one another, because that worldview does not match with the worldview of someone who's alive. The Mizbeach, by definition, is an altar made up of many stones. It represents growth, building, striving to accomplish. And our Avodas Hashem is symbolized by the multi-stoned Mizbeach, symbolizing continuous building of the same structure, striving in positivity. It could be, perhaps we could suggest, we've all been to cemeteries, we know that on gravestones, what do Jewish people do?
Put a rock.
Why do you put a rock there? because the neshama can no longer grow on its own because it's no longer in this world. It's no longer attached to the guf, to the body. When we now come to the cemetery and put stones on that matseva, what we're saying is, you're right, this neshama can no longer grow. But we in this world, we can build upon it. We can do mitzvahs in this world. We can do ches in this world that will be a zechus for the neshama to allow that neshama to have an aliyah and to grow. We are told, and this is, if there are three words we should think about at all time, and that is Rachmana Liba Bari, that Hashem desires your heart. Hashem wants us to try to do more, to continue to push ourselves and come closer to Hashem, even if you fail, even if you mess up, even if you don't accomplish what you wanted to. But as long as you're pushing to do more, to build on that mizbeach, that's the right thing. But too often we say, you know, this is how much I learned, how much I daven, this is where I am, and I don't want to be pushed anymore. A person who tells themselves that their davening is fine, their learning Torah is fine, their chesed is fine, that's the life of a matseva. It's not a life of growth. Yeah.
How do you balance then, like, wanting to grow and also being, like, happy with yourself? Like, in general?
A person should be able to be happy with herself and look back behind them and say what they accomplished, and also look in front of them at the same time and say, I have more to accomplish as well. That doesn't have to be a contradiction. No, we strive, people strive for greatness in college, in work. Now we want that to go to the best colleges. We want to have nicer homes. We want to have nicer cars. But often we miss out on the mizbeach of our lives. You know, the mizbeach that represents the essence of who we truly are. Mitzvos, ruchnias, amuna, connection with Hashem. Why aren't we striving to build that as well? There's a beautiful and also very challenging line from Rav Hirsch. I brought for you Rav Hirsch's words in Parshas Tzav. Look at this. He says, the thought of what has already been accomplished can be the death of that which is still to be accomplished. Should we say that again? The thought of what has already been accomplished can be the death of that which is to still be accomplished. If you're always looking back and saying, oh, look what I did. Come on, I was so good in high school. Look what I was perfect. I did what I had to do. I did what I was supposed to accomplish. Everything was fine. And you're always looking back at what you did in the past, here, at what you did in the past, and what you already accomplished, so then you're never going to want to grow anymore. And then he says, woe unto him who with smug self-complacency thinks he can rest on his laurels, on what he has already achieved, and who does not meet the task of every fresh day with full fresh devotion as if it were the first day of his life's work. That is how we should wake up. There's more to do, there's more to accomplish, there's more to see. You're going to have incredibly talented teachers next year in Eretz Yisrael, Rebbeim and Moras, and if you are whatever it is you're going to be latching onto next year to grow, always looking for that mindset of how can I notch a little bit more. Every day, and your time in seminary Eretz Yisrael should be a little bit more than the day before. A little bit more than the day before. Not that we should have burnout and we should, you know, become frustrated, but always looking for small ways to notch a little bit more, a little bit higher than we were the day before. This happens all the time. You know, there are people who go to no shirim during the week. So if you go to no shirim during the week, so they should go to one shirim during the week. And if a person's not davening regularly, so then perhaps it's time to start davening regularly. If you're davening, you know, once a day, daven shachar semincha. If a man's not davening with a minyan, so then start davening with a minyan. There's always things to work upon. We all have relationships that can be improved and that we can make stronger, we can make better. If there are relationships in our life that are tense, that it's not filled with shalom, and there's not a sense of peace, then we can make that relationship a little bit better, one day at a time, one piece of outreach, one extending of the hand, one thing to do in order to grow. Now, if a person has been blessed with the ability to give tzedakah and doesn't need to be on the receiving end of tzedakah, there are so many worthy institutions where a person can give a little bit more than the day before and a little bit more than the year before. We all want to be zocha, and we all want to have merits this coming Rosh Hashanah. We all want to be remembered in the best possible way before Hashem. And we see that the one day, one of the themes of Rosh Hashanah is Zichronos, to be remembered before Hashem. So the Navi Yirmiyahu tells us, Zacharti lach chesed neurayach, I remember the kindness of your youth. He's talking to the Jewish people. Ahavas kulosayach, the great love at the beginning of our relationship with Hashem. So what exactly is the thing that Hashem remembers so fondly about the Jewish people? So the Navi goes on to say, Lechtech acharai bamidbar, right? That you walked with me, says Hashem, into the desert. So I want to look at a comment here of the Shem Yishmuel, okay? The Shem Yishmuel in Parshas Vayikra makes the following beautiful question and an even more beautiful answer. He says, V'ze atzmo haya ha'inyan b'Yisrael. This is the description of the Jewish people, as it says in Yirmiyahu, Zacharti lach chesenu rayach, ahavas kulo sayach. Lechtech acharai bamidbar b'eretz lo zera. What is the great love that Hashem has for the Jewish people? It's that we walked after him into the desert. So he says, V'yesh lomar, od she'achar she'isigu shleimus gadol b'leila zeh, k'ma she'kasu mora gadol zeh gula shechina. The night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, there was tremendous, tremendous miracles. V'yuv la'afik li'yisrael mitzrayim, v'alayla kayom yoyer, and there, the night was so holy that it lit up like day. Chashuv gam kein she'em shrichem od af lehilach la'asos shempula. So says the Shem Yishmuel. He says that the Jewish people saw amazing things during Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's very difficult to understand. How is it that going into the desert after Hashem should be such a big deal? So he says that the Jewish people saw and they witnessed the Esra Makos, the greatest revelations of the power of Hashem by the splitting of the sea. And the Jewish people could have said to themselves, we've seen everything there is to see and reached tremendous levels of nevuah. We're so close to Hashem, and there's nothing left to do. But instead of resting on their laurels, what do the Jewish people do? They said, we can do more. We're going to be leich with Hashem. Even though we reached very high levels of emunah and relationship with Hashem in Mitzrayim, and Hashem revealed himself to us in Mitzrayim, and it was so beautiful and amazing, nevertheless, they weren't satisfied with the spiritual accomplishments of Mitzrayim. They were leich tech acharai. They were holy. They continued to try to grow with Hashem, and they continued to accomplish and want to do more with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Rosh Hashanah, you know, many shuls, and some shuls need a ticket for Rosh Hashanah to get your seat. You have to come to the shul with a ticket to show that you bought your seat in some shuls. You know, an even more valuable ticket than where your seat is in shul is a ticket where you can come before Hashem, showing him that we're ready to work, ready to improve in one area is a vastly different Rosh Hashanah. We are now Gimel Dalet of Elul. Rosh Hashanah is, you know, 26, 25 days or so. And what are we going to have to show Hashem? What did we accomplish during Elul? What did we do? What did we take upon ourselves to show Hashem that we're holich? That we're lechtech acharai bebidbar, that we have a little bit more. To show Hashem, I'm not a matseva. I'm not one stone. I'm not a one-hit wonder. I'm a mizbeach. I'm constantly adding stones to do a little bit more than beforehand. You know, a place where a person is able to serve Hashem better, to want to learn more Torah, to daven with more meaning, to do more chesed. It's not just a greater place, it's not just a greater dorm, a home, whatever it may be. But it's a different creation, and it's a message that we need to resonate with ourselves. Now, just like a parent doesn't want to hear, your kid is so wonderful, there's so much potential, but they're not reaching their potential, and that's frustrating for a parent, Hashem doesn't want to see you on Rosh Hashanah with the same card again saying, so much potential, there's so much to accomplish, okay, another year of not pushing and not reaching our potential. Our job is to build that mizbeach for Hashem, you know, a bilvavi mishkan evna, to build a mishkan in our hearts, a place in our hearts where we can show Hashem that we're notching things one at a time, a little bit better than before. I would recommend, if you can, for the next 20 days, to literally write down on a piece of paper, I'm going to do this better for Hashem before Rosh Hashanah. And then to come to Rosh Hashanah, stuck into your machzor, that little piece of paper, and to show Hashem, look what I did. I'm a Mizbeach. I accomplished something a little bit more than I did at the beginning of Elul. That's a ticket that's far more valuable than a person seated in shul. That's a ticket that can get a person very far. And it's something certainly to have a mindset for as we begin our time in Eretz Yisrael, and our growth in Eretz Yisrael. There was a very, very important piece in Mishpacha this week. I don't know if anybody gets or reads Mishpacha magazine, but they interviewed anonymous mechanchim with recommending five pieces of advice before you begin your yeshiva seminary year in Eretz Yisrael. Five pieces of advice. So I thought all five pieces were good things. I want to share with you five things that we can have in mind as we begin building the Mizbeach of our time in Israel. So the first thing they recommend is to unplug. And that is a very important point. When I was in yeshiva, you know, a long time ago, so there was no smartphones. You had a little Nokia, and the biggest thing you could do was play a game of Snake on it, and that was the extent of the phone that you had in Eretz Yisrael. The issue with taking a smartphone to Eretz Yisrael is that you are essentially remaining plugged into America. And that ability to unplug from America and to focus and to not look about what's going on in movies and TV and what's going on with celebrities and what's going on Twitter and Instagram and in the news, it gets in the way of focusing on yourself and your neshama and relationship with Hashem. To disconnect even from family and friends. It's okay if you're not keeping in touch with every single person all the time and you're keeping in touch with yourself during that time period. Can I tell you that, you know, can I tell you that it's something, I can tell you this. If you are able at this point to not bring your smartphone to Eretz Yisrael and you're able to go for a simple flip phone, a simple Nokia that allows you to make calls, you know, back to America, you need to call friends in Israel, that is a big recommendation I would give you. Still have time to make the change and to not take a SIM card. That would be a big recommendation I would give you. It will make a big deal in your ability to focus on yourself, on your learning, and be present, you know, emotionally present, mentally present, physically present, and to be focused on those things you're able to. Rav Kook, whose Yurtzeit was yesterday, today, yesterday, writes in the Sefer Musar Avicha that the Pasuk says, "Bechol derachacha de'ehu." You should know Hashem in all your ways. This is what Shlomo Melech writes in Mishlei. There's a lot of different definitions of Bechol derachacha de'ehu. So Rav Kook says, the beis in Bechol means, the beis means besoch, inside. Bechol derachacha de'ehu. In anything you're doing, whatever it is you're focusing on, you should know Hashem. Whatever it is you're doing right now, bechol derachacha, in that thing you're doing right now, you should focus on Hashem. Besoch, you should be totally enveloped in what you're doing. And with a phone, it is so hard. When you're able to check back and to look back what's going on and to keep up over here and to stay in touch with this, it's that much more difficult to unplug and to focus on other things. There's a place in West Virginia called the National Radio Quiet Zone. There's a place where they have a very high-powered audio scope where they listen to like sounds from like a thousand, millions of miles away in outer space. So you're not allowed to have any internet frequencies there you're not allowed to have any things because it ruins this very fancy piece of equipment. So for miles on end, there's only landlines, like old-fashioned landlines, and no cell phones, no internet, anything like that. Yeah. So.
Sounds like the airplane.
What?
In
the airplane, you can still, there's equipment, things like that.
Sure.
So there's nothing. Nothing. And the people who live there love it. They are just relaxed and they only find out what's going on in the news by, you know, getting a newspaper or go driving to town, and it's a totally different world. Can we accomplish that nowadays? It's hard in our connected world, but we can get a little bit if we can perhaps leave the smartphone home and bring something else to Eretz Yisrael. The next piece of advice, number two, is to be aware that Eretz Yisrael does not only contain ruchnius, but there are things that can be distracting. There are all of the gashmius of America and the bad gashmius and some of the good gashmius is there as well. We shouldn't pretend that there are not going to be places in Eretz Yisrael that a bento and a bas Yisrael shouldn't go. There's going to be environments we shouldn't find ourselves in, and just be aware of that. And don't get caught up in the idea that just because in Eretz Yisrael and just because it's Israel, therefore it must be a kosher place to go. One should be aware, one needs to be careful as well, that you should not, don't walk into a place or go to a street or go to an environment in Israel where you wouldn't want that image of what you envision yourself to be hanging out. Don't go there. If there's a place that friends are going, someone's going to be hanging out there, and whatever picture you have of yourself that you want to accomplish at the end of the year, would that person go into that place? Then don't go there now. Think ahead and make sure we are going to places that are appropriate and things are going to be part of that vision of building Mizbeach. Number three they recommend is to have a sense of Hakaras HaTov, that going to Eretz Yisrael is a zechus and not a right. There are people, there are friends of yours, there are people in this community, in other places, that are not spending the year after high school in Eretz Yisrael. Cherish that. Cherish that and realize that it's a tremendous zechus, and that the Chafetz Chaim wanted to be in Eretz Yisrael and he couldn't. And the Vilna Gaon wanted to be in Eretz Yisrael and he couldn't. And the Baal Shem Tov wanted to be in Eretz Yisrael and he couldn't. You have a zechus. Treat it like a zechus. Thank your parents every week for the opportunity you have to go there, if that's where you're going to be. And understand that, yes, it's true, this is where the Jewish people are supposed to be, but it's not that easy. And to really, really have an appreciation and to express that appreciation as well. The fourth piece of advice is to expose yourself to Torah personalities, opportunities, chavayot, that perhaps you wouldn't have taken advantage of on your own. Yes?
Yeah.
That you wouldn't have taken advantage of on your own. Now, there are so many beautiful hidden resources. If a friend of yours is going to a very special family or going to to see a big tzaddik or a big gadol somewhere, and you have opportunity to go and to glean about it and to take a little nosh of that and to take a little bite, so to speak, of that spiritual opportunity, don't be lazy and say, oh, I'm tired, I'll schlep, whatever. Take advantage of all those little opportunities to meet special people, to have special Torah opportunities, special spiritual opportunities, and to soak up those possibilities when you're there. The fifth thing is essentially to see the good in Eretz Yisrael, and you may not speak Lashon Hara about the land of Israel. You may not. The Meraglim spoke Lashon Hara, and we are sitting here to this day because of it. We need to be so, so careful. The halachos of not speaking Lashon Hara Eretz Yisrael are quite clear. It's usher, it could be it's usher to say it's too hot, that it's too cold, that the people there, the taxi driver is like this, or the first person is rude. You need to be so, so careful about speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Ksuva says that one of the Amorayim, if it was too hot outside, he would specifically go sit in the shade. And if it was too cold, he would go sit in the sun. Why? So he wouldn't have a negative feeling about Eretz Yisrael, that it was too hot or too cold. Some of the Amorayim, they would go and they would clear the stones off of the road. Why? So that another person shouldn't trip over a rock and say that I tripped over the rocks of Eretz Yisrael. We need to be so, so careful when calling back home, maybe on our smartphones, maybe not on our smartphones, and speaking to friends and family and talking about our experiences, that we are not speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. So hopefully these five things put together, these ideas, and this idea that we're trying to build a Mizbeach, and that we don't want to be a Matseva, so to speak, when it comes to our growth next year, should be something that everybody, whether you're going to seminary, whether you're staying home, whether you're teaching in SK, whatever it may be, all our messages are important for the upcoming year.